When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Superman, where are you now? He's wearing number 11 at the Garden. That's right. Jalen Brunson, 43 points in the first game against the Indiana Pacers as the Knicks take down those lousy bums from Indiana, 121-17. Win game one despite being outplayed, and for me, that's the story. The story of game one in this series is the fact that, you know what? The Pacers took it to the Knicks. All the talking points we had about the Pacers, their athleticism, their length, their depth, their ability to shoot, their ability to score points in the paint, the tougher defending it's going to take from the Knicks, all of that, all came to fruition. And they had a 9-point lead late in this game, and they were taking it to the Knicks. And yet still, Jalen Brunson won't be denied. 21 of his 43 points happened in the fourth quarter. And he scored 43 points while hitting 1 3-pointer. He goes 14 for 14 from the foul line. He gets to the foul line. He drives to the basket. He's scoring points inside the paint. He creates space and shoots over taller defenders. It's amazing what he's capable of doing. And he is willing this team. And this team, okay, you want to talk about the breaks? Fine. They caught a break with a bad call on a phantom kickball. There is an illegal screen set late in the game that changed the game. And some would argue you don't make that call in that moment. But there was a foul, and they did call it. But the New York Knicks with Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, obviously Jalen Brunson, have just no quit in them. OG Anunoby, whose defense all game really didn't have an impact until the key moments of this game. That's what this team, it's just unbelievable, and it's what it's been this entire postseason. And it's not just this game. It's the entire Philadelphia series. I mean, every one of these games, the Knicks have played 7 games. Every one of them is decided by 4 points at the max, as this game was decided. Every one of them comes down to the final moments. Every one of them comes down to a final possession or a big play or obviously a big call. Like every single game. It doesn't matter if they're up. It doesn't matter if they're down. We saw it in Philadelphia. They take an 8-point lead with 2 minutes left, or less than that even. Take an 8-point lead with a minute left, right back to tie game. Like it doesn't matter whether they're up. I mean, they are going to take this down to the wire. And for me, looking at this series, I feel the same way after game one that I felt after game one of the Philadelphia series. Because if you remember, Embiid looked much better than he did in the play-in game against Miami. And Maxey was hitting shots, and they played, I thought, as good a game, and you got as much out of Embiid, especially after, if you remember, tweaking his knee after trying to throw one off the backboard to himself and throw down a dunk, the first dunk he attempted since returning from his knee injury and tweaking it a little bit. I thought you got the best of Philadelphia, and it still wasn't good enough to beat these tough, gritty Knicks. And the same thing for the Pacers. They had the better of the play. Their bench outscored the Knicks bench 46-3. And that's much more. The 46 is the more important and impressive number than the 3 for the Knicks, because the Knicks don't play their bench. But 46 bench points. McConnell got to the basket at will. Obi Toppin had a stretch where he hit some big shots. He scores 12. McConnell scores 18. They do everything right. They play as clean and crisp a game as you could want to play, and it's still not good enough to beat this Knick team. So for me, if I'm the Indiana Pacers, yeah, I'm encouraged in some aspects that we played well and we got our offense together and we did what we wanted to do. But in the back of their minds, it doesn't matter how well it goes. And certainly this is in the back of every Knick mind. Every player on that team knows it doesn't matter where they are at the half. It doesn't matter where they are at the end of the third quarter. It doesn't matter where they are with 5 minutes left. This team is going to find a way to win. They hit the big shots. They make the smart plays. They put their hands in the passing lane. They get tip balls. They figure it out. And after game one, I'm feeling about as good as you can for the rest of the series against the Pacers, considering they threw their best punch and the Knicks absorbed it and kept moving on. That's how winning's done, to quote the great Rocky Balboa. That's how winning is done. And if there's one thing this Knick team knows, it might not be side out of bounds plays. They don't seem to know that. It might not be how to defend the pick and roll. It might not be how to make foul shots. It might not be a lot of things. But there's one thing they know, and that's how to win. And Jalen Brunson knows how to play and knows what he needs to do to win. And this is special. Watching this team is about as fun and as special. I mean, now there's no question. Now there's no question. This is the best group of Knicks that we've had in 30 years. And it's the most fun we've probably had in 30 years. And you combine that with game two tonight of the New York Rangers, and we've got this garden party that takes place at 7 o'clock every single night. It's about as much fun, to quote the Steve Summers, as much fun as you can have with your clothes on. That's how much fun it is. And it's a Rangers take game one on Sunday. Knicks take game one on Monday. We look forward to game two tonight for the Rangers. And we look at these two teams hoping to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They got off to good starts. This should be a fun series. The Knicks play nothing but tight, close, fun games that you could break down for 5 hours. And I'm attempting to right here on The Fan. 877-337-6666. As I got you for another three all the way to 5 o'clock on this five-hour midnight drive. Midnight ride. I was thinking about the Doors song? Moonlight Ride, right? Let's go to the moon. Maybe I'll do something with that. I was thinking about that the other day. Andy in Brooklyn. What's up, Andy?
Hey, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, well, now that we can hear each other, why don't we have a conversation?
I wanted to talk to you because I was at the Garden last night.
Nice.
It was electric, but it was great. But I want to talk to you more about next season Knicks rather than this season Knicks. I don't think we're getting past the Celtics.
Oh.
They look too good. I know.
Wait a minute. Come on. Andy, I'll do what you want. You know why, Andy? For several reasons. One, you took the time out to call me at 2:10, and right now you're the only one doing so. So we'll talk. That's fine. But let me just ask you. Why are you focused on next year's Knicks when they're in the middle of this series? And why have you already resigned yourself? Now, I don't want to be the guy who says, oh, they could beat anybody. That's fine. But you don't have to be the bummer who thinks they can't beat the Celtics. Come on.
No, of course. But I'll tell you, this Celtics team, I've never seen anything like. They have 4 losses at home this year. I love that we get into close games and we win all those close games, but I just don't see how we're going to do it against that Celtics team. And I don't want us to make the same mistake that a couple other teams did a couple years ago, where they run it back with the same roster and it doesn't work out, because the Trailblazers did it in 2019 and the Hawks did it in 2021, and it didn't work out at all when they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, lost, and decided to run it back with that team, and just didn't work out. And I feel like we're going to make that same mistake. Yeah, next year we need another piece at shooting guard, whether that's a Paul George or a Devin Booker, even if a DeMar DeRozan, that can help us out, because I know we have Randall coming back. But I don't think that this roster is good enough to win not only this year, but next year. And I don't want to get stuck in another place where for the next 10 years we're trying to get back to where we were because we thought we could run it back with this roster and we just couldn't.
All right, well, one, even just getting Randall back is different than this team they're seeing right now. Adding Randall is a piece that we're not seeing right now through this. And I would think they, in my mind, I know a lot of people think they're better without Randall. I have a hard time saying that.
I mean,
they can only do what they can do. I mean, I think they will try and get that piece. They still have the picks they want to trade. And they will. I think, if Booker becomes available, I think he'll be a Knick. I don't think there's any doubt. I think they will trade for him. I don't think they'll sit on their laurels. But having said that, even if they run it back next year, one, Jalen Brunson has become a superstar. And I understand you want to mention the Hawks or, you know, other guys. Right now, I mean, the Knicks are different because Jalen Brunson's different. And if they run it back 1 year, it doesn't mean they're doomed for the next 10 years. Like, they'll still have Brunson. He's still young enough. And they'll still try and go out and get another piece after next year. But as much as I'd love to entertain your phone call, and I did for a little bit, I can't do it right now. I can't sit here at 2:13 on a Tuesday morning in the middle of a garden party like we haven't seen in 30 years. I mean, you want to focus on the Knicks' future? Man, sit in this. Stew in this. Right now, the replay is on. I'm watching the replay right now on TNT on the television. Turn it on. Listen to me, of course. Don't turn off your radio. But watch the game again. Don't worry about next year. Not now. We'll have so much time. We'll have an entire offseason to worry about next year. And don't tell me they can't beat the Celtics. I don't want to hear that right now. I don't want to hear it right now. Because I'll tell you the truth. I don't know if... I'm not going to say... They will beat the Celtics for sure. I don't even want to say if they... All I'm telling you is I'm watching this Knick team and Jalen Brunson do things I wasn't sure they could do. Now, I know the Pacers are the sixth seed. I know the Pacers won 47 games. I know the Celtics had one of the great years and regular seasons we've seen. I know how talented they are. I know they just... You know, went through Miami, and I fully expect them to go through Cleveland rather easily. But the Knicks find ways to win like no team in recent memory around here. Like, honestly, when name another team in this city that they just found a way to win every day. I mean, you could argue for you could argue for a time, both baseball teams, in 2022, the first half Yankees found ways to win, and the Mets went on that long stretch of not losing a series for a while. They were coming up clutch, and there were times where they found ways to win. But in the big moments like this, in playoff series, when is the last time we saw a team? I mean, you have to go back a long ways. You have to go back to what, the 90s Yankees? When's the last time we had a team around here that was as good at finding ways to win? Being outplayed, and it didn't matter. Having the other team do exactly what they want to do, and it didn't matter. Getting off to bad starts, it didn't matter. Nothing mattered, because when it came down to it, they were going to find a way to win. When's the last time we've experienced it? Enjoy it, man. Let's not talk about next year. Let's not even talk about the Boston series. Let's focus on the idea that they still need three more wins. And let's enjoy the ride, because I'll tell you, not only are they incredible at finding ways to win, and not only do I agree with what I just said, that their ability to do so is only rivaled by the mid-90s Yankees and teams in this city for the last 25, 30 years. But man, what an unbelievable ride of highs and lows. I mean, this is the best, we like to call it the roller coaster. This is the best roller coaster we've had forever. These games are all, I mean, they're down, they're going to lose, they're down 9, they can't stop McConnell, it's freaking ridiculous, they're going to lose game 1. I was listening a little bit to Evan today, and he's giving you all the statistics about the Knicks in the Garden and losing game 1 and how hard it is to overcome that and win a series and blah, 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 blah. And I got my head in my hands figuring there's no way they're going to win this thing. Then they start coming back. it's highs and lows. Forget everything. I mean, the 76ers series was just straight up bonkers. I mean, just straight up wild. Two miracle finishes in games two and game five. And this series starts off like this. When you look across the Western Conference and they got blowouts by 25 points on a nightly basis. And the Knicks are playing these knock them out, drag them out. Every second matters. Every call costs them the game. It's crazy. Let's enjoy this. This is as long as they're winning, this is as much fun as it gets. Emilio in Staten Island, please tell me you're focused on the right now, Emilio.
Chris, I can't believe this last guy, first of all. You're witnessing greatness. This kid's becoming a monster right in front of our eyes. This kid's talking about next year.
Yeah, they can't beat the Celtics.
You're going through a month worth of emotion in every game you're watching.
I know. I'm not even kidding. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm exhausted at the end of them. I know I'm exhausted anyway because my sleep pattern is still, it's almost a year now. Pretty much anyone who's listening or calls me on a regular basis, I'm sure you deal with the same thing. But like, I'm always somewhat tired. But man, there is just, especially the other night when I was here watching with Fliegelman, game six against Philadelphia, and I had to transition into doing the open.
We got in early, 9 o'clock to watch the game.
Yep. And after they won that game, it was like a deep sense of just, and then I had to get right back up to do the show. I was exhausted. I'm exhausted after these games.
We literally just stole a game that we should have lost.
No doubt. No, and this isn't the first one. This is one of three.
I'll just be ecstatic at where we are. I'm thinking about the next game, never mind next year.
Of course. I entertained him because, honestly, you hadn't called yet, Emilio. But, like, I can't imagine. I can't imagine focusing on next year.
But this kid made me call in. I was like, really? Come on.
I agree. We should not be focused on next year. We should not. I mean.
Comes around once in a blue moon.
Yep. No. Doesn't come around too, especially for the Knicks. My God. Yeah, do we forget what the Knicks have been? The Knicks have been a joke.
They've become something that, in my opinion, didn't sit for the hat.
The Knicks have been what?
He's becoming something that, in my opinion, the Knicks have never had. He's becoming like a Michael Jordan. This kid, what you're watching with this kid, I don't think people understand what this kid's doing.
No, I don't. I don't think they do. You know what? That's a good point. He is doing it so effortlessly. And, like, we don't recognize. I mean, I guess we do when you start giving the stats and everything. But as you're watching the game, you're probably not understanding what Jalen Brunson is doing with the amount of 40-point performances he's given you here. I mean, it's just, he's been remarkable. You're right. And maybe I even dismissed it when one all the callers said, oh, he's the best player, he's the best, he's better than Tatum, he's better than this one, better than that one. I'm even like, but you know what? Right now, yeah, look what he's doing. And look what this team is doing. I mean, this is as good as it gets. And each game, it's just, it's exhausting. I can't, like, how are we going to, we can't do this every night. We can't do this every other night. As much as I love the Garden Party, we can't go from, you know, up a goal with 50 seconds left, 6-on-4, and then turn it around the next night and tie game with 12.1 seconds left. I mean, we just can't do it. We can't do this every night. But I mean, it's just, my wife was yelling at me. I was doing bangs. I was bang. I'm screaming it in my living room. I mean, this is as good as it gets. And to focus on it, and yeah, I mean, this is, the Knicks have been garbage. I don't know how else to put it. The Knicks have slowly chipped away for years, chipped away at my fandom. Like, they dragged me to the bottom of the ocean with them, and I was fed up. I needed to let go of them so I could live. Like, that's how bad. You had to let it go. They were an anchor around our necks, and we had to just, like, put it down and swim up to take a breath for 20 years. all the different coaches, all the different players, all the different losing seasons. Hall of Fame coaches would come in and end their careers here. I mean, it was just brutal forever. And now they're giving us a team that overachieves. A team that doesn't even have to play that well to find a way to win. And a superstar who is doing things. You're right. It's unfair to call him Michael Jordan, even though he might have some statistics here in the playoffs that equal what Jordan did. I'm not going to put Jordan on him just yet. But man, oh man, if he is not just giving us something, you're right. And I understand people got upset. I think Mark Jackson, I saw on a podcast, got upset with the idea that he's being referred to as the best Knicks since Walt Clyde Frazier and, you know, forgetting about Patrick Ewing. I loved Patrick Ewing. Loved him. I'll never forget, my kindergarten teacher had a cardboard cutout of Patrick Ewing to size, a 7 foot, and it had inches on on his outline so you could see how tall you are standing next to him. I'll never forget that. I think was it my kindergarten teacher or my first grade teacher? I forget, whatever. It was one of my in young elementary days. And we used to love that. Every morning I would say hello to Patrick. I'd be, hi, Patrick. I loved him. I loved Ewing. I loved that team. Ewing never did this. Ewing never just on a game-in, game-out basis dropped 40 points. Now, he had to focus a little bit more on defense, I guess. Although he wasn't the defender ever that he was in Georgetown. But he had to focus a little bit more on defense. He had to play Olajuwon. He had to play, you know, it was a little different than, but I mean, the scoring and what he's doing and willing these teams to victory, it's something we've never seen. And I'm certainly not going to focus on the idea that they're not good enough to beat Boston, that you have to figure out how to get better in the offseason. I'm not looking at anything other than Game 2 on Wednesday night. Let's get a 2-0 lead. Let's go into Indiana with only needing to really take one of those two, come home, and finish this thing in 5. That's what I'm focused on.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And yeah, I mean, listen, I don't like to throw around Jordan too much because I remember I was fortunate enough to watch Michael Jordan. But what Brunson is doing is Jordan-esque. What he's doing right now, when you need your best players to play like this. I mean, it's funny because both the Rangers and the Knicks, as we talk about this garden party, I mean, Kreider hasn't done much necessarily, but Zibanejad and Panarin have come through for the Rangers, and Jalen Brunson has just been, he's the best player going right now. He's been the best player in the playoffs. It's 40 points a night, and last night, I mean, if you look at what he did, he gets to the foul line, he hits 14 of 14. He's 14 of 26 from the floor overall. 1 for 4. He's only hit 1 3-pointer. He gets to the paint. He's got 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block. I mean, he's just doing everything early on. He gets them off to the start early on, and then 21. And that here's the deal: 21 of his 43 points come in the fourth quarter. He hits a big three. His 1 3-pointer comes in the fourth quarter. He's just been devastatingly good. It's crazy how good he's been. David in Sterling, New Jersey. What's up, Dave?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, Knicks win.
Knicks win.
That's exactly that, man. Give yourself that.
That's all they do. I mean, that's as simple. The Knicks win. That's what they do. They win. They are a winning team right now.
Exactly. I mean, might be so how it came around. It's like the thousand-yard thing with how the Pacers were playing us, but we came with a win, and you can't be upset about that, right?
No, I'm not upset about that.
No, of course not. I think my question for you is...
Yes.
I mean, we watch... I mean, I'm just going to be watching the entire game, like me and my friend here. We, I mean, just watching the entire game, we saw a bunch of, like, weak points that the Pacers exploited. Kind of just like that... The three-point shooting, Miles Turner driving to the paint every time.
Yep.
Like, what would you say approaching game two is Nick's best approach to kind of like a counteracting all that and kind of a getting easier win?
I don't think there's any way around that, Dave. They've proven they're gonna test our hearts and our stomachs. I mean, there's just no way around it. They need to be a little bit better on the pick and roll. There's a couple of blown assignments, a couple of miscommunications that led to easy layups. They got to tighten it up a little bit defensively. But ultimately, this Pacers team can score. It's what they do. They're going to score. This is going to be a different series. The Knicks are going to have to score more points than they did against Philadelphia. There's no way they scored 121 last night. That's what it's going to take. They're going to have to score more. This team scores more points, but they're worse defensively. They score a ton of points in the paint. They give up a ton of points in the paint. The Knicks are going to have to do what they typically do. But you want to slow them down a little bit. But ultimately, you know, they're going to score. And they're young. They're athletic. They're strong. They're tall. They're long. They're quick, and they're getting to the basket. They did a good job. You got to limit. You know, you got to do a little bit of a better job with the bench. Like, there's no reason that T.J. McConnell gets 18 points. Like, he shouldn't be getting 18 points. But yeah, you limit. Haliburton scores 6 points in this game. Siakam scores 19. The leading scorer is Turner with 23. Who hits 2 3-pointers? He could shoot a little bit. They need to be better on a handful of things. One, the one that's really ugly to me is the side out of bounds plays and inbounding the ball. The Pacers made everything difficult from inbounding the ball and dribbling it up the court off a make, like literally everything. Everything was hard. It was hard to cross the half. It was hard to cross half court. They've got to make it a little easier on Brunson and give him a little bit of a rest. And then the question is really, what do the Knicks do with the bench? Because I'm confident they're not playing anybody else. They're not going to bring Burks into this. I saw a couple people tweet, you got to give Burks a few minutes. I'm not playing Burks now. That I think that ship has sailed. And unfortunately, Bogdanović got hurt. Bogdanović was the other player who would play in these games. So when he goes down, the bench is limited to three people, mainly two, with a little bit of Mixon and Achiuwa. But it's Robinson and it's McBride. And McBride's on a short leash, especially in these tight games where they're losing or it's a close game and he comes in and misses his first two shots. He's not going to get a ton of opportunities, especially when you're not playing a ton of McBride and Brunson on the floor at the same time. McBride's kind of in there to spell Brunson. And if he's not hitting shots, which he has this series, and he's gotten more run than he did last night. He got 11 minutes last night. He's gotten more run than that. Robinson got 12 minutes. He's typically gotten more run than that. And I think he will, because you can't do it forever. You're going to have to give a little bit more to this bench. But right now, I love the way Hart's playing. I love the way Brunson's playing. DiVincenzo's been good. And it's been good enough down the stretch. So how do they stop? I don't know. You can slow the Pacers down, but the Pacers are going to score. Like, we watched the game, you saw them, they're going to get to the basket, they run their pick and rolls, they're going to score, it's what they do. They've been the best scoring team in the Eastern Conference this year. They're going to score points, they're going to hit shots, you have to keep up with them. And, you know, they tried to run with them, which I thought Hart is as good as, Hart's transition offense and the fast break points are, I'm fine with playing that game. The Knicks can play that game. I would like to try and slow it down a little bit, try and slow them down a little bit, not allow so many, you know, Siakam got to the basket almost at will. Turner was down there on a couple of pick and rolls that led to mismatches, to easy layups on smaller defenders left on him. The Knicks aren't as long. The Knicks aren't as don't have the same amount of height. And they got to figure out a way to inbound too. Like in the down the stretch of this game, they double team Brunson, and Brunson can't see over the double team. So they got to figure out a way to figure that out. But ultimately, I think they're going to play tight, hard fought games. That's what they do. Kevin and Baldwin, what's up, Kev?
Hey, thanks for taking me, man.
You got it, buddy. Listen, what's up?
Shout out. I agree with you 100% about enjoying the game presently.
Yes.
And don't worry about the next series and all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these callers calling up talking negativity about this and that. Enjoy the ride, man. When's the last time you had this far to talk about the Knicks?
Never. Never. It's been 30 years. It's an entire generation.
Thank you. And also, they respect the refs when they get a call this way or that way. They don't get up and screaming that and this. So maybe what goes around comes around. The ball bounces which way or what way. But
yeah. Well, listen, there were a couple, and thank you for the call, Kev. There were a couple. There's namely the one for me. I think there's one call that is clearly a bad call that hurt the Pacers. And that's the tie game with 51 seconds left, and Brunson tries to throw a pass to DiVincenzo, and it goes off Naismith's hand, and it's called a kickball. And there's no review for it. You're not allowed to review it. Not allowed to challenge it. And it leads to the Knicks getting the ball back instead of going over, instead of being a turnover. The Knicks get the ball back, and DiVincenzo hits a three. I don't think the final screen, you want to scream, people want to scream about it. I don't think that's fair. It is a foul. He's moving. It's a foul. Is it a bit of a ticky-tack foul? Yes. Is it one that if it were on the other hand, if the shoe was on the other foot and the Knicks were called, if Hartenstein was called for that screen, would I be upset? Sure, I would be. Sure. Would we be saying you can't make that call in that spot? You got to let the players decide. You got to swallow your whistle there. It's not an egregious foul. Oh, what a flop job by, I don't know, Naismith instead of DiVincenzo. Yes, I'd be saying all that. And you know what the Pacer fans would be saying? Oh, pipe down. It was a foul. That's how it works. The Knicks caught a slight break on it. It was a foul. I think this has made a much bigger deal because Stan Van Gundy gives you the theatrics to the call. That is never called a foul. And when I mean never, I mean never. And, DiVincenzo, with one of the great acting jobs, I know in New York there's a lot of actors, you see them on Broadway on a nightly basis, but that's one of the great performances. Like, oh, shut up, Stan. Like, they never call that foul ever at the end of a game. Stop it. Stop it. That was a foul, and it got called. Boo freaking who. The problem, the off the foot, that was not a kickball. That was a turnover. Jalen Brunson turned the ball over. It should have been a turnover. Knicks got lucky. You know what? Luck is the residue of design, my friends. You got to put yourself in the position to be lucky. You know what? They won the 50 games, and they got the 2 seed, so game one is in their building, and the extra game is in their building. You know what the advantage is for that? You get the crowd, and you know what? Maybe you get a whistle. Maybe you catch a break. Maybe the basketball gods that Christopher Russo keeps yelling about actually are real, and the home team gets the advantage. It happens. There were bad calls made against the Knicks earlier in the game. OG Anunoby got called for a foul, completely phantom, didn't touch the player. Jalen Brunson had a ball dribble off of a defender's foot and then called out of bounds on him, Pacers ball. The only difference was the Knicks had an opportunity to challenge that play, thankfully. The kickball is not challengeable, which is altogether stupid. Every play on the court should be challengeable. I don't understand it. You're given. I think the same thing in football. I hate the idea you can't challenge. If you know what? If it's a difficult play to challenge and you tell coaches, hey, look, the pass interference play is very difficult to challenge. It's hard to overturn. There's a million different ways to interpret it. I can just tell you now it's a difficult play to overturn. But you know what? If you get an allotted amount of challenges and you want to challenge anything that happens on the floor, you should be able to. I know Bill Belichick, when he's not doing roasts, has been saying that for years. I don't care what it is. I'm given two challenges for the game. I'm going to challenge it if I want to challenge it. I don't care what the call is. The idea that that ball not going off a foot for a kickball is non-challengeable, that's the Pacers have a gripe. Take it up with the league that a kickball isn't challengeable. Because on the court, refs make mistakes. Each team use both their challenges. The Bear in the Bronx, what's up, Bear?
You're hitting all the bright spots tonight. The Knicks, definitely. Oh, my God. This is incredible.
It's incredible what's going on. It's crazy.
There's a changing of the guard in the NBA. LeBron is on his way out. He had a great year, and he's still going to play. But
yes,
right now the news is the Knicks, and LeBron is at home watching.
That is right. That is absolutely true. LeBron is at home watching Jalen Brunson give one of the great playoff performances we've seen in a long time. He's been everything you could possibly want, and Josh Hart too. Josh Hart was so important in this game. His offensive rebounding late. I mean, he's just got a knack for the ball. It's crazy. And then his transition offense was really, in the second and third quarter, the best offense the Knicks had was Hart on the run after a rebound. I'm watching it now. Third quarter, eight minutes left, off a long rebound, outlet pass to DiVincenzo, dunk. Like that. And we haven't even, and it's funny too. I was going to say this. Now all of a sudden, Stephon Marbury has found his way into the Garden crowd. It's almost like, I was thinking about this as I was watching it. It feels a little bit like a video game. It feels a little bit like a video game where every time you get to a new level, there's been a new person or a new, I don't want to say villain, but that's in a video game, it would be a villain. Obviously, Marbury, he's not a villain. He's cheering on the Knicks. But like, there's another added element. Round one, you got all the go-tos. You got John Starks. He's there for all. It's like a bonus character. It's like you get to round one, you get Starks, you get the guys who still are associated with the team, Allen Houston, Larry Johnson. They even threw in a Sprewell. They sprinkled in a Sprewell for you. Now you get to the next level. Oh, here comes the other guys out of the woodwork, Stephon Marbury. Carmelo's kind of been around the league, so he was there for round one, too. If they make it to the Eastern Conference Final, I don't know who they'll pull out. I don't know who's going to be sitting there garden side baseline with the rest of them. I'm trying. Who could it be? Patrick Ewing's been there, right? We saw Ewing in the crowd one of the games. Who could it be? Who will they pull out of the mothballs?
Eddie Curry.
Eddie Curry, you son of a...
Jerome James.
Tim Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. I like Tim Thomas, but that would be,
I was at Marcus Camby's been there.
Marcus Camby's been there, yeah.
Thomas, I think, has been there.
Right. Kurt Thomas, yeah, he's been there. Who else could they wheel out there? I'm trying to think. Especially if it's Boston.
Is there anybody else from like that Melo era you would want around?
Right. I mean,
Jason Kidd's busy.
Pablo Prigioni.
Novak.
I love Steve Novak with the discount double check belt. Yeah. What's his name? The defender. I saw him on TNT or one of the broadcasts, right? He's doing Shumpert.
Oh, Iman Shumpert. Yeah.
Iman Shumpert.
He's an actor now.
Is he an actor? I saw that he was doing one of the studio work, Iman Shumpert. You bring Shump back. If he's not busy playing golf, you could bring back Smith, right? But yes, Stephon Marbury out in the crowd. He's not playing anymore in China, right? He's done playing ball. I don't know if he's still living in China. He became an enormous star in China.
He's 47. If he's still playing,
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, how? I mean, we saw it. We've seen guys do it. Ricky Henderson, I think, was like 57, still playing. He was playing for like the San Diego River Rats or whatever. He was like he was trying to hang on forever. Ben in Princeton, New Jersey. What's up, Ben?
Mac, what's going on, man? Mac, this ain't healthy for me, as you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
I keep losing my voice, but it's all good.
Yeah, no, it's fun at the end, but when you're going through it, man, it's tough. I'm pacing all over the place. My wife doesn't understand. She's like, because this is new. You got to understand also. It's been so long since I've done this for Knicks. Like, she's used to me pacing and getting all crazy for the Yankees, maybe even for the Giants. But it's brand new to see me on a nightly basis with the Knicks. You know, it's just we haven't had this.
Listen. Now that you say that, that's one of the reasons I was gonna call. I'm calling you to tell you. But real quick, Tim Thomas been there a couple times, believe it or not. What will bring the house down? I know it's not gonna happen. When Sal used to have the overnight last year, I told Sal we need to start a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I know he throws shade, patch weight, and he talks reckless out his mouth at times, but that will bring the Garden down if they bring Oakley back.
Yeah.
For some reason, if they were to bring the Oakman back, that place will erupt. Take my word on it.
Yeah, but good luck with that. That's never going to happen. I'm just telling you from here, there was a couple of unsavory things said about him here on the station, and we still can't go. So, I mean, like, Oakley ain't going. Oakley's not going to see the Garden.
Well, listen, let me say this. We're not talking about that anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm considered an OG. I'm older than you. I lived through the 90s.
Right.
I went to a watch party today, and I'm telling the youngins, because my son is 22 years old, and my son only knows Knicks. In today's generation, when a lot of these kids are putting on another player's jersey, rooting for another team because of all the network outlets, right?
Mm-hmm.
My kid grew up during the dark days. He only knew 2013, and that didn't end well against the same Pacer team.
Yep.
Right? So that's all he knew. And I was telling these young kids that were born in the 90s and tell me stories about their pops and everything. And I say, listen, I've been rooting for this team for 47 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said earlier, stop complaining. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the moment. I told my kid, I'm suffering right now with my voice. I'm going to watch parties. I'm going to the games.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? You never know when you're going to get back here.
Yep.
We have a once-in-a-generational player in Brunson. And I truly believe we're this close. It's not going to happen this year. I told you that last week.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're not winning it this year, right? But you can see, in my lifetime, this is one of the best Knicks teams ever, ever, even including some of those 90 teams.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe we had two good teams, really two good teams in the 90s that could compete. The 93 team was better than the 94 team. We didn't get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
The 93 team, and the 97 team, when the league had to find a way to suspend Patrick from walking away from taking a step away from the bench. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not bringing up negativity. I'm just sitting down saying to you, all Knicks fans, young or old, like me, I've been suffering a long time. Let's enjoy this ride and keep this love going. This is reminiscent of 94. I'm going to let you go, and let's go Rangers, let's go Knicks. Let's go Rangers, let's go Knicks. I'll talk to you soon, Mac.
You got it, Ben. Let's go Rangers, let's go Knicks. No doubt, it's a Garden party. And yeah, no, listen, I don't know. I don't want to compare these teams necessarily more than just style of play. I don't want to say who would win on a court on a given game. I don't care. But I do want to mention just because – like, I feel like I've gotten this guy hit me. You can hit me up on Twitter, too, at CMAC WFAN. Again, this is from Awful Sports Radio. Again, I like Chris, but he's throwing Ewing under the bus by Monday morning quarterback. One, Ewing was one of the 50 greatest players of all time. Two, he's a Hall of Famer. And now he's getting the he never did this over Brunson, scoring a few first and second round games. Did Ewing take 40 shots a game and get 20 free throws? Crazy. Okay. I'm sorry. I love Patrick Ewing. We might have to go through again. I don't want to compare these teams. I'm not trying to put down Patrick. I love Patrick. He is one of the best 50 players of all time. He's the great. He's a great Nick, an unbelievably great Nick. I watched. I mean, again, it was 30 years ago, but I watched all those playoff games. I lived and died by them, and Patrick was great. He never carried the team or did this, and he didn't take, you know. Jalen Brunson took 26 shots last night, not 40, 26. He scored 43 points. He took 23 shots. Now, he got to the foul line 14 times. And, yeah, it was a different NBA. We probably weren't getting to the foul line 14 times in those 90s, with those 90s Knicks. But this isn't something where he dominates all the offense, shoots all the shots. Like, he shoots more than everybody else. But... you know, DiVincenzo took 17 shots. He took 26. And he hit 14 of them. That's an efficient game. 14 of 26, 14 of 14 from the foul line, 43 points. That's an excellent game. He's dragging these teams to victories. I'm not trying to say he's overall a better player than Patrick Ewing or whatever. Right now, he's on a run. Show me the 40-point games Patrick's had. Now, you want to say he didn't need them? Fine. He had John Starks. He had, you know, other guys. He had Derek Harper. I don't know. Ronaldo Blackman. He had other guys who could score. But, and so does Brunson on some level. But, sorry, you can hate me. You can say I'm throwing Ewing under the bus. You can say whatever you want to say. Jalen Brunson is doing things that even Patrick Ewing didn't do in the postseason for the Knicks. You want to say the first two rounds? How many times the Knicks got to the Eastern Conference Finals? A lot. They went to one NBA. They went to two NBA finals. He didn't play in the second one. I love Patrick. He's never done this. I don't remember it. Show me. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll go back and look at all of Patrick Ewing's point totals over the. Show me when he scored 44 straight games. Let's see if it happened. 877-337-6666. That's not to knock Patrick. It's to raise up what we're seeing from Jalen Brunson. It's something we've never seen. And it's not to knock anybody else. It's not to knock, you know, anyone. Any of those 90s Knicks, Bernard King, anyone previous to that. Bernard King goes back too far for me. Obviously, so does Walt Frazier. He was tremendous. Game 7 of that NBA Finals, Walt Frazier. It's one of the great Game 7 performances in the history of the NBA. I'm not saying anyone's better than anybody else. What I'm saying is, in my lifetime, I'm 40 years old, I have never seen one single player perform like this and carry a team to victory the way Jalen Brunson's doing it now for the Knicks. That's all. Like it, don't like it, I don't give a damn. 877-337-6666. All right, we got 3 hours down, two more to go. McMonagle here with you till 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. 877-337-6666. More of your Knick calls, Ranger calls. We'll get into baseball. Pete Alonso. I'll tell you exactly what should happen to Pete Alonso.